SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League with Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh. On the
radio. 30. I'm on right now. I don't believe you.
You boys in line.
So let's talk about some closers because I don't think there's a definitive on these guys. And there are two closers that stand out to me. I think I made this point before. With less games played, less training time, and more teams making the playoffs, don't know how much of a leash guys are going to be given and how screwing around people are. Prime example, Camilo Duvall. I hate to keep focusing on him. But Duvall, I don't think is guaranteed a job, even though he closed out the year, because you've got all this training time being missed, all this workout time. You've got veteran closers in there, games that have to be won in a tough division that I think it's easy for the Giants to come out the gate, give it to another guy. There's less games for these guys to screw up on and move off of, that I just don't think it's a huge benefit, where kind of like when Eno said that Duvall might be put in a leverage situation. That's what a lot of these young guys are. Maybe he still gets the most saves, but I think for this type of closer, it's a negative. And let me throw the other guy in who we love to draft is Garrett Whitlock. Now, this could go both ways. The benefit could be the team asking Whitlock to stretch out as a starter.
All this missed time.
No, I know. They already have. No, I know.
Yeah.
No, I'm saying they've asked him. But all this time not working out in camp, what if they're going to chop off at least a week of spring training? He gets less games to look great. What do they do? Throw him back in the bullpen. And you know what's worse about that in that time period? They hand it to Matt Barnes. Now there's less time for him to jump into an impactful closer situation or be in the rotation. And it could go the other way, where they, you know, he doesn't start and they just say, screw it, we're putting him right in the high in that situation. But I think he goes to that high leverage. So guys we want to be closers, I think, are more likely to move around in the rotation with some veterans taking the save jobs. And those two are closer situations that stand out to me as negatives for guys that we want to bank on.
Well, I wholeheartedly agree with you on the Matt Barnes situation. I've been drafting Matt Barnes
because
he's going to be the closer. And I didn't think that originally. And then, you know, I got to reading the Black Book, see what Spohr wrote up about Whitlock. And, you know, it's been confirmed recently, too, that Whitlock was told, come into spring training stretched out. We want you as a starter. So it also leaves him a little bit in limbo if he does struggle initially. Like, okay, now do we want to just say, screw this, put him in the back end of the bullpen and that's that? Or do we want to say, hey, you know what? Come in long relief situations, get better situationally over the season, and then maybe you'll get the starting job back. So that leaves him in limbo. But that's why I do like Barnes still, and I still be drafting him. You got a fair point on Camilo Duvall, right? And Eno, you know, even mentioned it, that he thinks Tyler Rogers is going to get...
Yeah, he threw a curveball. I thought it was going to be McGee, right. And he's like, he thinks Tyler Rogers. Like, oh.
But it could be either one of those guys that gets the closing job. I like Duvall because he closed out the year last year as the closer. Giants were one of the best teams in baseball last season, tons of wins. So I still think that even if he doesn't get the closer role, he can still get enough saves to be valuable on your team. Probably not where I'm drafting him, right? But also I think because it's a shorter year, when you give up two games because your closer blew it, I think you're going to get super frustrated and go, I'm just putting my best pitcher back.
So,
and that's going to be Duvall. And he will eventually be the closer if he doesn't start out with it anyway, because those guys can struggle.
That's a good point. One of the counters I would throw back is less save opportunities in general makes these leverage guys less appealing than ever before. I agree. I think Duvall, it's funny that we're getting so much of like the most electric relievers get moved in the leverage situation, where if you've got guys that have a past history of being able to save games, that benefits you. Go put the crusty ass veteran in and then have a really good reliever who's got, you know, just a great 1-2-3 that can move around. My problem is
the Giants are a team, and I don't mean to cut you off, but they're a team ripe to trade for a guy too. Ripe to trade.
But my problem is with less save opportunities out there, that's less opportunities for these slick high leverage guys to even get opportunities whatsoever. Like the save opportunity goes to the vet, and it makes me, I don't want to like go
but
harder on closers.
Up, the leash is shorter on everybody.
But this is why you, you can talk yourself into a circle.
This is why you can go both ways. You can go, you
but
can
I don't think, I just don't think you can pay the high price. I think Duvall has to move down.
Fair.
I've moved him down. He needs to go more. I think guys like Whitlock have to go down. And it's at this moment, it's more worthwhile jumping in on guys like Barnes. Now, there's a couple other situations. You could look at some of these weird relievers that are going to be on bad-ish teams that don't look like they're locked in, like Scott Barlow, Gregory Soto. We've talked about Lou Trevino, Lucas Sims, Dylan Floro. There's also some guys that look like they're closing for teams that would want someone else. We know there's some closing jobs that are still out there. There's the Blake Trinans. There's the Pierce Johnsons. There's the Corey Knebels. That I'll say it like this. I think you want to go with the biggest constant you can, because with an expanded playoff, my speculation is with more teams in it and around it, you're going to have less of a pool of potential relievers and closers to be moving around, which can be a benefit to the fringy guys, like let's say Scott Barlow. Let's say you're the Royals closer. You are still in contention. What benefit does that team have to move off of a guy? How much does it suck to have Ian Kennedy get all those saves and then they trade him to a place to be a setup guy? It sucks when that happened. It happened with Kimbrel. They moved him to the
Kennedy's
White Sox.
Kennedy's still a free agent, by the way. He could take one of the jobs somewhere.
He could. But
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League.
It's got what plants crave. It's got electrolytes.
What are electrolytes? Do you even know? It's what they used to make
In This League.
I'm the smartest guy in the world. Says who?
The IQ test you took in prison. Brought to you by Carl's Jr.
With a less of a pool, the fringy-ish team, so it might be important to also look at team projections and wins and stuff like that, that I now look and I go, you know, Scott Barlow's not that bad. You know, I don't actually mind that one. I look at maybe a Lucas Sims. Reds might be able to do something. The problem is we don't have maybe Gregory Soto's a guy that, you know, I think the Tigers are not going to be good and teams may be calling about, but I think he loses his closer job. The problem is we got guys like Pierce Johnson, Dylan Floro, Lou Trevino, the Mariners situation. And I look at those and I don't see anything locked in when we know we have guys like Ian Kennedy out there, Kimbrel being traded, Kenley Jansen signing, that it leaves too many question marks out there. But I guess my overarching statement real quick is just that I think there's going to be less relievers moved that are losing jobs from trades than it is anything else. And that I think there's just less wiggle room for teams to screw around, especially by giving it to like really, really young guys. They're going to want guys that can lock it down, whether they're boring or not, they get strikeouts or not.
And this is less about, to me anyway, it's less about the shortened season and more about free agency not being done, because those are usually the guys that sign last are those relief pitchers. So there's still guys that are out on the market that are going to get jobs and you know, move stuff around. We still have Kimbrel, who's going to get traded, and there are other trades. There are a lot of guys that still need to be signed, big contracts that still need to be signed that we're not even taking into account yet. So, you know, pieces are going to be moving during the preseason process as well, whenever we get to it. You know, so I think that's a big part of it too. So this is just, once again, I think it reinforces those top end closers and makes them more expensive overall, and everybody else kind of loses value here because we just don't know. Everything's unsettled.
Yeah. And the closers are, I think, a really wonky situation, but I think, you know, we've kind of walked you through. So the last one on this side of the what if the short season happens, and what happens with rookies? What ultimately goes on with their value? So I have a couple takes on it. I'm not changing anything with Bobby Witt. I think if anything, Bobby Witt more securing himself. He's also not on the 40 man, which I know you could argue makes less, that's not a benefit. But here's the positive. Bobby Witt is at the Royals facility right now. He is training. Right. He's doing stuff. He's getting game action in. there's not going to be much of an argument. That team wants him up. I think, regardless of this, Bobby Witt is good to go. But take a look at some of these other guys. Spencer Torkelson, Adley Rutschman, for example. Both players, are both on or not on the 40-man?
I think they're both not on the 40-man roster.
So this is a...
I'll double-check while you're...
I want to say that they're both not also. And Riley Green, I would throw into this as well. What the benefit... Torque is not on the 40-man, so he's training. And I believe that's almost... I know it's a fact for Adley as well, because he was just hitting. Is Riley on the 40-man?
Nope, he is not.
Okay, so here, like Bobby Witt, here's the benefit. These guys are training right now. They're playing in games. While the season is not happening, we've lost 2 weeks. Maybe we've lost
Adley
a month.
Also is not.
Guess what? Those guys can play in minor league games. They can get a full... If we start May 1st, those guys can get a full month of the minor league season under their plate. Now, we can't do anything about roster manipulation, but you want to talk about early production, a full minor league season under. We usually talk about these guys in May or something like that. They may get an exemption. They may have some exemption this year for, you know, the clock starting or something like that. Regardless, Adley, I have to even put my hand up with missed games. Adley and Spencer Torkelson, I believe, and Riley Green all benefit from this. How much? I don't 100% know. I don't know if we can go to the extent of saying these guys are going to be able to break camps with their teams. Also, what are they going to do if spring training does like spill into April? Are they going to keep them in spring training, or are they going to move them over to minor league games? Either way, they're going to get run. I think both of these guys benefit and should theoretically be moved up a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you, and you're more the rookie guy than me, obviously.
But I don't even like rookies in redraft. You know that. I always say
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I understand that, but I think you're right. You know, I think you're right in this scenario. And look, it really does seem like one of the big things is the players are going to have to give up extra playoff teams, and the owners are going to have to say, all right, well, when a rookie comes up, he's up no matter what. So you can get these guys, you know, on opening day rosters, and there's no weird stuff coming up in the middle of the year and all that crap. So I think those are both going to be reformed here. So I think that, it benefits these guys to be able to come up from the very jump anyway, even if they weren't allowed to play in the minor league games. I think it's a benefit. So, yeah, I'm on board.
Now, the negative to watch, though, is those guys, if they struggle. If, Torque struggled, I think, last spring training.
Send him right down.
Yeah. And this actually leads to the guy I picked as a struggle, and I picked on a little bit. And it's going to go one way or the other. I'm going to be so right, or I'm going to be so wrong on him. There won't be a middle ground. Is O'Neill Cruz. And, you know, my argument with Spohr and Pisapia Boggs was like, this is a guy that got 8 total games between AAA and the majors, and his projections created off of this are wild. And I've been repeating this a whole lot. I think he's still raw. He's a huge...
Now, aren't we projecting him off like one batted ball event?
I mean, I don't know, maybe. But it's like 8 games, 2 major league games. He has a couple homers. O'Neill Cruz, I think, is still raw. He's 6'7" at shortstop right now. I've talked about how, like, there's just something about his lackadaisical nature of just, like, sometimes it doesn't look like he's trying. I don't know if that really matters for anything. But my point is I'm not...
You got to spin that the right way, Welsh, you say. He makes it look effortless.
He does make it, yeah.
5 batted balls and 2 barrels, yeah, by the
and,
way.
And that
was his total last year.
And we've generated him as a 2020 player. I look at him and I look at this team. Now, the Pirates aren't going to be in much, but I look at them.
Max exit velocity was in the top 1%.
Yeah, because he hits the ball freaking hard. He hits the ball hard, but I don't think he's a contact monster. And that's where I kind of go with, I don't think he's going to be handed the job. He might, but he's on the 40 man and he's going to miss the time, blah, blah, blah. But what if he struggles? And what if they don't want to screw around with developing this guy and they want to send him back down because he needs more tutelage? What if this missed time was bad? And then now they send him back down and he struggles a little bit more. And then when he comes up later in the year, you've missed all these games. And maybe it's a reach. Yeah. Maybe it's because I'm not as big on him. He's going quite a bit higher than the rest of all these players. Like,
but
really,
it's
really
the same,
high.
It's the same argument with Kelnick. Obviously, different scenario because we've already seen Kelnick come up and struggle, right? But it's with any of these rookies. If they come up and they struggle, they have options.
Yeah.
You know, they're not going to not send them down. Maybe Pittsburgh is less prone to do that because they're a crappy team anyway. So who cares?
Yeah.
This guy struggles. Let's get his struggles out of the way. Whatever. Maybe that's, you know, some silver lining you could see with him being on Pittsburgh versus Seattle. You know what I mean? But I don't know. I probably am not going to roster O'Neill Cruz.
I'm probably not too, but I would say I think there's some other prospects that it's a little bit of a downer that, I mean, a lot of these guys are going to get some major league or some minor league time, which could help. But I think just a season shortening isn't the best thing on the planet for, say, guys like Bryson Stott or Nolan Gorman. I think guys like Jaron Duran and Vidal Brujan are hurt by different things. I think teams are going to move in different directions. Duran, I think, once Suzuki signs, if he signs there, that's going to lose positional time. My overarching thesis is I don't love the missed training time and the lowered amount of games as a huge benefit to a lot of these guys, especially if more teams are in contention, less likely to bring up players. But the impact prospects that teams might feel they truly help them, like Torkelson, like Riley Green, and like Adley, those guys would benefit because teams may say, screw it. And guess what? I'd also say this, Boggs. What if an agreement is put on that gets rid of some of this roster manipulation and pushes for these younger guys to come up? That would be a big added benefit. So that is our look at the what if of players in missed games. What if there's a DH? Because there is. So I'm just trying to tie it all in. DH players, and who's got the spots, who benefits, and are there maybe sneaky guys? We're going to talk about the DH in the NL right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League.
Buckle up, buckaroo. All night.
Designated hitter in the NL. Mwah. Right in your face, purist. It's a beautiful thing. No more dumb pitchers going. More fantasy at bats. Maybe we, you know, negative value some pitchers. I suppose that's for another conversation if you really want to go in that direction of why, you know, NL pitchers might benefit a little bit more, blah, blah, blah. But adding the DH adds obviously a whole new position, and teams are probably going to take it in many different directions, from the fringy fourth outfielder, from the catcher to the young bat that just doesn't have a defensive position, up to maybe some teams actively in free agency, which we haven't seen yet, going after. Nelson Cruz has been tied with the Padres. You know, you might see some DH-only type of guys find some new spots over in the NL. Now, the one thing to discuss, which kind of changes some of this, speaking of some of those players, is there's a lot of free agents that don't have a team.
So many bats.
There's so many huge bats that are still sitting out there. That's its own little what-if territory here.
Right.
But, you know,
you could really go down the multiverse.
Well, we can go into that other third cartoon dimension of being like, you know, to these guys who don't sign,
Miles
who
Morales.
Struggles. Yeah, exactly. We could go into that, but there are some impactful bats that have not signed, which could end up taking the DH spot or the spot of someone else that then moves them to the DH. So here are the top free agent as far as hitter goes that still exist. You've got Carlos Correa, who has been tied with, I've seen the Yankees as of most recent. I still don't believe that happens, that they spend on that because they've got some young internal guys. I mean, honestly, I have no idea where Correa is going to go. I haven't even like really thought about it.
Cubs. The Cubs were after him for a little bit.
Okay.
As well,
yeah. So maybe that would be it. I mean, they didn't pay Baez to pay Correa. Okay. So that would be a possibility. So you've got Carlos Correa out there, which at the end of the day, I don't think he's going to affect anybody because he is who he is. Freddie Freeman is very interesting. Freddie Freeman most recently being tied to the Padres. Now, the Padres one, that would be a whole nother ball game because, you know, I mean, they're not going to put Freeman in as a, because here's the thing, you don't want him as a DH. But you can't play him at third because Machado's there. You don't want Hosmer to be a DH because you want him for his defensive ability more than his bat. Right. So they'd have to move him. But let's say they did move Hosmer and they got Freeman. Then your DH position, I think it just kind of moves around. You know, they could bring in a Nelson Cruz that could help maybe a Cronenworth.
Now the Padres have just on roster resource, they have it listed as Profar.
Yeah, I just
as their DH.
I just don't believe that would be who it was. But it might be.
On the roster right now, it'd probably be Profar or Kim, one of those two.
Yeah,
as far
and
as
they're DH. They're going to improve. You have got Nick Castellanos. You got me. You know, I don't know exactly where he's going to go.
I know San Francisco was a thought early in the offseason, so who knows?
That'd be a good destination. Chris Bryant is out there. I really believe Chris Bryant's going to the Mariners. Just after the Paul Sewald stuff where he took a picture, there's just something about it. I have a gut feeling. I feel like he's going to be a Mariner. So if that happens, so great for me for access on the backfield so I can find Mr. Blue Eyes and finally get that picture with me and Chris Bryant.
Get his home address.
Yeah, exactly. Pretty easy to find. Trevor Story. There's another one of those in that same arc of shortstops, you know, and Trevor Story is just not a guy. Again, I don't think shortstops are the ones that are going to push off DH players, but he's a big bat. Now, here is a DH only guy, Kyle Schwarber. Kyle Schwarber could go anywhere now with the DH, and he
anywhere
could take any of these jobs. San Diego, they've got a poopy. Philly has, what is that? Is that Verling set as a DH? Oh, absolutely. Milwaukee, if there's a player that was built for a team, it's Kyle Schwarber. Kyle Schwarber looks like the Brewers mascot. That could be a destination. There's plenty of teams I look at here that he makes all the sense in the world, and he would take up that spot. Others, Nelson Cruz, told you he's been tied with the Padres and maybe a couple other teams. Anthony Rizzo, that's going to be a guy that probably doesn't DH, but he very may well take a spot of a person that could then that push to DH.
Push someone's to DH, right, yep. Right.
Tommy Pham, Eddie Rosario, and Michael Conforto. I have heard really heavy Michael Conforto to the White Sox rumors when this deadline comes to. And That's not going to really take anything because Eloy is going to be the DH there, most likely. So those are some of the big bats that are out there with, I would probably say, four or five that could affect the NL DH situation. So let's look finally at the actual NL DH situation, since we haven't gone necessarily team by team, starting with Atlanta. Not Atlanta.
And by the way, Damian asked us this question a couple weeks ago when we were fielding questions, and I prepped this whole answer like 3 weeks ago, and then we haven't got to it, but obviously no movement has happened, and we're still locked out, so that's why we're talking about it now. So,
and
just wanted to give a shout-out to Damian.
Atlanta, currently on their projected 26-man roster over on Fangraphs depth chart, has Marcell Ozuna as the starting DH, hitting .400, so just looking at roster resource. This team is going to, they're going to make a swing. Like there's nothing in my mind tells me that they are not going to make a swing at something, whether A, they can bring back Freddie Freeman, or if they fail to, which seems to maybe be on the table here, that they're probably going to, I could see them bringing in a Kyle Schwarber, who I think would fit well in a DH or first base spot, maybe an Anthony Rizzo as a good team leader. I think that team could use a good team leader like you losing in Freddie Freeman. And either way, I don't think that changes much on the DH side, except for this. The starting outfield that Roster Resource has for the Braves is just like...
It's Pache and Waters.
It's wild. There's no way. I mean, you're going to have Acuna, so let's throw Acuna back in. So you're going to have Duvall, Acuna, and maybe Pache. I don't know if they do that. I feel like they bring someone in. But either way, I think Ozuna is probably the beneficiary, which... It's not a benefit. It doesn't really matter. Like, he's going to get full-time at-bats.
I mean, less injury opportunities, I guess, if you're DHing and not playing the outfield. So
I suppose
a little benefit, but not a ton.
So. A benefit, I would also say, is Travis d'Arnaud, if you want to look at catchers. So,
okay, that's a good point.
d'Arnaud is a good offensive bat with some really solid power that, you know, you're going to want these guys to come off of this position a decent amount. They've also got Willem Contreras in the minors who they could bring up. So I actually think they've got some – and who the hell is their – I just went away from the roster. They got Manny Pena. I mean, I think they have some catcher depth where you might see d'Arnaud take some of those reps as well. Because currently this outfield, I would actually tell you, Marcell Ozuna goes in the outfield. He goes to left. And Acuna goes to maybe center, and then you would put Duvall could go to center, and then right. And then DH could be just a mishmash between multiple different players, and it's really not given to one. But I think Travis d'Arnaud is one of those beneficiaries, except because, like, Pache is a defensive guy. He's a nine-hole
hitter.
Yeah, but
I mean, if they go out and sign Schwarber, then you just stick Schwarber at DH. And you call it a day. Go from there.
Yeah, you call it a stupid day, and Pache is your fourth outfielder, which is probably, you know, Schwarber would actually be a pretty good spot there. So one side benefit would be Travis d'Arnaud. So maybe move him up and catch another one of those catchers. The Arizona Diamondbacks are Arizona Diamondbacks, who are going to be so bad. They're going to be grossly bad this year. They currently have on roster resource,
already not looking forward to watching them and then the lockout.
So. Yep. Yeah. Well, then on top of them being one of four teams, it's like, hey, let's not let anybody have money.
It's just embarrassing.
Seth Beer is currently set to be the DH for this team. Couple things, though. They got a lot of lefties in this lineup, and they've got a lot of similar players. One guy you could look at is Jordan Luplow, who is one of the righty outfielders. I mean, currently you've got Pavin, Peralta, and Varsho all in the outfield, all lefties. And then you've, you know, you've also got, who the hell is it? I mean, then you put
Cooper
Seth Beer,
Hummel.
Josh Rojas. I would say if they don't bring anybody in, Luplow is a player that could benefit a little bit. But at the end of the day, I think Seth Beer is going to get the majority of it. And that's why he's worthwhile stockpiling.
Yeah, I mean, I think more of those changes because of, like you said, the lefty-heavy lineup. Will be made, you know, when they bring in a relief.
They're probably just not going to have an everyday guy. Like, that's the only thing that could be kind of sucky with Seth Beer.
They could still sign somebody, you know, and that would not be surprising at all because his roster is so
well,
bad.
That would be spending money, though.
That would be spending money, so I'm with you. They're not going to go out and sign Michael Conforto or anyone, but they could sign someone down the list that's better than Cooper Hummel and Jordan Luplow is all I'm saying.
Yeah, so Luplow's all right.
Wouldn't be that surprising. So
Beer's only projected for 82 games on ATC/TheBatX, 9 homers with a .250 batting average. I think you could bump that up to 120, 130, and he's got big. I think Seth Beer is a sneaky 20 home run power guy this year with the DH because he's been continuously working on outfield versus first base. They do have Christian Walker there, but Beer has some flexibility. He's not the best defender on the planet, but you know, you got Varsho and Peralta, who are studs, and then between Pavin, Beer, and Christian Walker, that can serve all three of those positions. They can just interchange, and Luplow probably gets thrown in a little bit. So I think Beer is the beneficiary, and I would say he's a sneaky 20 homer guy, but you know, it's probably a little bit of you know, biased or whatever, hoping that Diamondbacks will be good. The Chicago Cubs, Bogman, this one has me intrigued. Clint Frazier is currently set on this to be theirs. They're going to make new moves, but I look at the roster and I go, you know, they got Wisdom, they got Schwindahl. I mean, Schwindahl, if they bring somebody else, I suppose that can change, but they brought in Clint Frazier. They got Ortega starting with Jason Hayward and Ian Happ right now. If Frazier keeps that job, I think I'm going to be in cheap late.
Really?
Cheap late Clint Frazier is someone that I'm very interested in. Projected.
If he misses 80 games with a headache.
Well, but shortened season might be a benefit, plus DHing. That might not be bad. Projected 98 games, 13 homers, but a really bad batting average on ATC. I would watch Clint Frazier, but I do have a hard time believing the Cubs will go in with him. I think they'd want it but I think they're going to make multiple moves.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this league.
Oh, I remember.
In this league.
I remember that.
The Cincinnati Reds, they are locking in Mike Moustakas. And I think this one is very, very open, though, and not locked because Moose has been a struggle bus guy. Their roster looks relatively locked in outside of center field, but they've also got on their bench currently Aquino, Nick Senzel, Akiyama, and then Moustakas at DH. Moustakas just doesn't have anywhere else to play. So I guess if you want him to play, he's... You know what? Now that I'm saying this, there might not be any flexibility. Where the hell else can this guy play on this team?
Well, but Moose can play second. He's played second and third.
Yeah, but they
third.
Got Jonathan India.
So I understand, but they also have Eugenio Suarez at third. And if I think Suarez bounces back. So I'm not in the camp of I'm not drafting Suarez because I think he's terrible and Moose is there. I'm more of the, I think Suarez bounces back and it's closer to 240 than he does 200.
But I'm making my argument, I'm just making, is that Moustakas, there's no other place he can play full time. So he I don't see how he doesn't be the full time DH unless he's cut.
I think he played a little short last year too, didn't he? And who
was Suarez.
Kyle Farmer?
Suarez.
You're right. Well, Suarez can move over to short then.
Yeah, but like Kyle Farmer. He's a flight. They have a lot of position flexibility, I suppose, though it helps. But I guess I look at that and I go, I just don't, if they want Moustakas' bat to stay, this is the only place off an occasional start somewhere else, which in my mind makes him kind of the full-time DH because they have one center field spot open for three other outfielders, most likely for Nick Senzel to take. And then Aquino maybe gets, you know, some of the righty at-bats at DH. Maybe they flex it like that. Aquino gets versus lefties and Mike goes against righties for DH.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely could be. Yeah, just looking at his game log from last year, have 43 games at third. He played 9 games at first and only 1 at second. So, yeah, I guess he can move around in that infield a little bit if someone gets hurt. But if they sign someone, then, yeah, Moose is waiting for an injury. But I don't think they'll sign anyone because I do think they still like Moose.
Yeah, so, I don't think it makes sense either with all the – that's why I'm saying I actually think Moose might be – of all the guys we've talked about so far, the most locked in at DH of any of these guys. Colorado has got Charlie Blackman, who's hitting 3 as the DH because they are trying to get some time for Sam Hilliard. And I buy it, you know, getting older, get him off the field. Blackman's 35. They got Tapia. They've got Connor Joe, who they want to get some run. And then you've also got Hilliard plus Hampson's out there. If Blackman is on this team, I think it makes a lot of sense. I don't think there's any other guy outside of, here's what they could do. Blackman could throw a big fit and want to be out in the outfield, and then Hilliard is the DH. But either way, Blackman gets a stand out here, and I think the beneficiaries are Hilliard and Connor Joe because one of those guys are going to be able to stick through, and really Connor Joe seems to be like a guy that everybody is in on. Now,
he's one of those late guys going late in every single draft.
Yeah, I've been trying to scoop him up a little bit, but I never can. He's very trendy. This is one why I don't think this is locked in, because this is a DH spot given to the 9 hitter, and that's not really where you want to do it. The Dodgers, Gavin Lux, who they have at 9. Now, here's the benefit. He's a lefty. The problem is they've also got, like, Matt Beattie, who the team really likes. They got McKinstry. Yeah, they got a couple of those same type of guys. But
and money to sign someone that's not Gavin Lux.
They've got money to sign someone. I think if, and also you look at this and you're just not like sold across the board. I think this is a spot where they're spending money. They don't need to spend any money on their rotation, do they? I mean, they got Buehler, Urias. Maybe they can use one more guy. They brought in Haney. Maybe they cheaply get somebody else. But I think this is a bat. And I think this might be a corner infield.
Well, Edwin Rios
player.
Is still on this roster. I know he had, didn't he have labrum surgery? So I don't know how long he's going to miss. I know that's a bad injury, but I mean, that's another power bat that could come in at DH.
Yeah.
And wouldn't be surprising if he's healthy. So
I think this is somebody that can, I mean, I do look and like Muncy has flexibility. Chris Taylor has flexibility to move through here. I just am not going to give it to Lux yet. I just look at a DH in the 9 hole and I don't feel confident about it. I think the DH is coming from somebody else. It's not on this roster.
Mr. Outside Hire.
Yeah.
That's right.
The Miami Marlins, they have tabbed Brian Anderson, according to Roster Resource, who ends up being the 6 hitter. And this one is just kind of a mess in my eyes. I actually would bet on Garrett Cooper more than I would Brian Anderson at DH. But this, they're giving like Brian De La Cruz a center field job. I don't really have a good feel, but Garrett Cooper would be my bet here. This roster just looks gross.
Yeah, it's all over the damn place. Many, many players will be used at DH. And, you know, Anderson will slide over and play third eventually too. So they have Joey Wendell there right now. So this lineup is going to be all over the damn place.
This is another one to keep an eye on. And it is the Milwaukee Brewers who have a 9-hole hitter at DH, Tyrone Taylor, who's very popular with a lot of people. But kill me if you will. I kind of look at this and I go, I feel like Keston Hira they're going to give that first shot to. Unless he just looks bad. I mean, I'm coming out of the woodworks here. They got Rowdy Tellez, who would be a great DH. Keston can defensively play. He just couldn't hit. But maybe you could just DH him. And he could get out there, get that bat in the lineup if he can get going again. Not sure that they do it. Tyrone Taylor, I think, is a better fourth outfielder. You know, they brought in a little bit more heavy guy in Hunter Renfroe. Lorenzo Cain has been injury prone. I think I'm going to outside, say Keston here is going to get an opportunity. It might be a surprise DH position.
I would say someone gets more at bats than Tyrone Taylor, whether that's a person they sign a trade for or it's Keston here. It's not Tyrone Taylor.
So this one might be as easy as it can be. Robinson Cano is back from all of his cheaty bad stuff, and he might be a gajillion years old.
And they weren't testing for a little bit, so they're still not testing.
He might come out like Professor Hulk. He's like, hey, everybody. He's 39 years old.
Look like John Cena, right.
He's 39 years old, but he doesn't have to play a position. He could just get out there and hit. I still think he'll miss some games because they've got some, you know, Dom Smith is the guy that I think you all want to look at and be like, well, this guy has to benefit. But you got Cano back. I don't know, man. I don't know if that's the direction that they go. If they got rid of Jeff McNeil.
Projections are giving him, like the Bad X is giving him 80 games, which makes a lot of
Cano?
Sense. Just give him, Cano, yeah. So just give him half, you know, just half of those games, which makes sense. But also, I mean, look, Cohen is pushing the money in here. So if Cano struggles at all to start, they can trade for someone. And even before that, I would not be surprised to see them go out and spend real money on a free agent again.
I've been buying on Dom Smith a little bit, though. But it's given to Robinson Cano right now. But be on the lookout for if the team can get out from Robinson Cano and say, screw it. I think at that point, it's handed to Dom Smith. A couple more here. We got the Phillies who we talked about. Whoever it is, it's probably not on this team.
They're going to sign somebody. Yeah. It's not going to be Matt Beerling.
No, that's who they have there. They've also got Adam Haseley and Mickey Moniak in the outfield. This is another Nick Castellanos destination. I would say Castellanos, Bryant's connection with, this would be the second place. Their best buddies. That would make a ton of sense in the world. Maybe they go cheaper with an Eddie Rosario. Whoever the DH is not, it's not set, or probably not on this roster. I don't see them giving it to Haseley or anybody else, unless here's one. They pull a shock of shocks and they sign a Freddie Freeman, and then a Rhys Hoskins maybe goes to DH or something like that. But right, I would say it's not the person is not on this roster. The Pittsburgh Pirates, they have Michael Chavis currently set.
Who knows?
Who cares?
Like, right? It's a mystery. You know what? Who knows and who cares?
You know what? Maybe it's O'Neill Cruz. Maybe if he struggles defensively, they could bring Cole Tucker can come in and be the shortstop again, and Cruz could be a DH. Who the hell knows? I don't know, but this roster looks gross. This is not a place I'm looking to try to pull. They are starting guys like Yoshi Suzuko, Anthony Alford, and Ben Gamel right now. Maybe there's going to be gross team late production that you can find. The DH, I don't think, is a major benefit from this team. I think it will be a turnstile. It'll be this.
Isn't Ben Gamel a lieutenant in the Army? So
brothers with Scott.
You know, yeah. I mean, look, there's like you said, rotating door. Who cares?
Padres. We talked about this. They currently have Jerks and Profar there, but they have a non-roster invitee. This is where it's a little bit confusing, Pogs. Nomar Mazara is a NRI, and he's in their starting lineup right now. And that's where Profar was playing before. So that's why I say the DH for the Padres, not on this team. It's not going to be Carantini. It's not going to be Jorge Alfaro or Ha-Sun Kim. It's going to come from somewhere else. And the benefit could be that Profar may still get a gig, but I think this team picks up two people. I think they pick up someone to play in the outfield, and they pick up a DH. They get a Cruz on the cheap, and then they pick up maybe an Eddie Rosario on the cheap, something like that. San Francisco Giants, they've currently got Darren Ruff as the DH for this team. He's hitting down at 7. I think this could be a Joey Bart situation. Because Brandon Belt's going to be at first.
This is also a rotating door. I mean, we saw how much Kapler mess with the lineup last year, right? So this Ruff, Slater, Flores, you know, Crybaby, it's going to be a mixture of a bunch of guys, I think, at DH for San Francisco.
I think the benefit, though, in my eyes, is Bart, because I don't think Bart is an everyday catcher, and when he's not, they can keep his bat in the DH. I bet he's 75% the DH when he's not catching, and then he's catching, you know, probably half-ish of the games. But they've got a couple different options. So I think the biggest beneficiary in my eyes for the Giants is Joey Bart, as long as he doesn't majorly struggle. The St. Louis Cardinals, second to last year, Paul DeJong is the player that they got hitting at the seventh spot. This, though, I don't see them moving away from DeJong, but they're giving Edmundo Sosa the starting shortstop gig. If Young were to go back there, that's where you got to keep an eye on Lars Nootbaar and Juan Yepes. Here's why Lars would be great. Because Lars is a lefty, and they don't have a lot of those lefty. Lars was an awesome leadoff hitter in the AFL. He's a total combo player. I actually think Nootbaar is the guy to take a look at, because I don't – unless they're completely locked into Sosa being the starting guy, I could see a situation where DeJong plays shortstop and Nootbaar is getting at bats, maybe hitting nine for the team, which kind of sucks. But that's that pseudo leadoff role that they had him hitting out here.
Right, yeah. And, yeah, I mean, I didn't notice this. Everyone is a righty in this lineup.
They yeah, that's why I said Nootbaar really works well here.
Yeah, he does. He does. He works real well there.
So all right, last one, the Washington Nationals, who currently have Yadiel Hernandez as their DH. It's not a great roster of a team. They've got, I mean, the top two is Lane Thomas and Cesar Hernandez. They've got all the other bats they possibly – they are literally, this roster resource is starting Carter Kieboom and Victor Robles. You know, the thing to consider, though, Boggs, is do you think the Nationals are willing to just roll over with the money that's in that rotation and having Juan Soto and just having a poop roster, and that they don't go make a splash on us? They don't go lock up a Carlos Correa?
They're not making a splash, I don't think, right now.
Trevor Story?
You have too much money wrapped up in Patrick Corbin and Steven Strasburg right now. So, no.
Yeah,
I don't think they go make a splash.
They got off a bunch of money in Trey Turner and Max Scherzer for this exact point. And I'd say don't. I would look at a guy like Trevor Story would make a ton of sense for this team. They have Alcides Escobar that's sitting there. He could hit in the middle of the order because they're currently starting Carter Kieboom and Victor Robles.
I think they'd rather trade for somebody. But, I mean, you got a point. I mean, they'll sign somebody. So I don't think Yadiel Hernandez is locked in here by any stretch of the imagination. But so they'll sign someone. But, yeah, it's just not looking great. I don't think they're going to go and make a big move, but – you know, a medium move gets Yadiel Hernandez off
a couple medium moves. So I think what we looked at is there's five teams that we don't see the DH currently on their roster. As we were going through here, we had the Cubs, we had the Dodgers, we had the Phillies, the Padres, and I think the Nationals. And then there's a couple other questionable ones.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you what, that dang old...
In this league.
Talk about www.com.eu, man. You go click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.
I don't know what you're saying, but that's what's going on, yeah.
InThisLeague.com. Check us out today. Come and get all the fun stuff. The ranks, the GroupMe rooms, the comedy secret shows. It's the best bang for your buck that you can find out there. And a Patreon that has been around quite some time, so we're not just dipping our toes into doing it and, hey, maybe we'll do some fun stuff. No. It's established, and you can trust it. Bogman and Bubba coming up in hour two. Oh, what is on the table, Boggs? Is there
a lot of
some...
NFL talk?
Oh, NFL. You got to break down some Russ, break down some Rodgers.
Talked about the combine too. You and I didn't even talk about the combine. So there was some. I mean, Jordan Davis just having the best relative athletic score. The two guys better than him are like. I think it's Calvin and somebody else.
One of the most amazing things on this kid, when it was put into perspective, 350 pounds. He ran, I think it was a 4.78. He ran a faster 40 time than Patrick Mahomes did. When they put it like that, a 350 pound dude ran faster than Patrick Mahomes. That is athleticism through the roof. I mean, is there not a top five overall pick on the table for him?
Well, he's kind of a two down player. So I think that is going to be the issue. He comes off the field, but there were a bunch of tens in terms of relative athletic score. Trick Woolen ran one of the fastest 40s ever for a player that's 6'4", so yeah, I mean, Jordan Davis, Leo Chenal had an unbelievable number. So yeah, there was guns a-blazing in the combine for sure.
Totally wild. So that's what you and Bubba got coming up here.
Yep. Going to talk some Aaron Rodgers. Obviously, Bub, a big Aaron Rodgers fan. We'll see what he has to say about.
Is a Rodgers fan?
Yeah. He's from Wisconsin originally, or he has a lot of family there. I can't remember. It's either he's from Wisconsin originally, like when he was a kid, or I know he has a ton of family there. He goes back there all the time. So he's like, he's a Badgers fan. He kind of
like knows someone that lives there. So
no, he likes the Packers too. But you know, obviously Aaron Rodgers drives every single Packers fan crazy. So,
yeah,
you know, he's like that toxic ex-girlfriend that you had, everyone has had. So
I was about to say, that's Aaron Rodgers. That we can all relate with that one. All right, friends, don't go anywhere. I'm out of here. It's Bubba Bogman, hour 3 of In This League, right after this.